The Immortal Man. Chapter 141. Oh my God, 300 grand. I've got to work hard for 10 years to afford a watch like Lincoln's. Comparisons are odious. We can't possibly compare. Lincoln has both looks and riches. This kind of man is truly perfect. When are you going to break up with him, Mitch? I want to book him in advance. I'm even content with being his girlfriend for a day. They all sang Lincoln and Michelle's praises while also teasing them, causing them both to burst out laughing. Ah, this feeling of being envied is truly great. I remember that you used to date Hilda in the past, Lincoln. Why did you two break up? A long-haired girl in a dress asked out of the blue. That girl was Yvonne White, and she was from the same dorm as Hilda back then, so she knew some things about Hilda and Lincoln. Following that question, everyone abruptly went silent, and the atmosphere became awkward. After all, Hilda and Michelle were roommates from the same dorm, so it was rather despicable of the latter to have somewhat stolen the former's boyfriend. At that turn of events, Lincoln suddenly put on a sorrowful expression and feigned hesitance as he murmured, "It's a long story, and it's also something I'm most reluctant to bring up. I gave Hilda my heart, yet she wasn't satisfied at all. Besides her penchant for lavish spending, she also loved to frequent bars. In the end, she even became an exotic dancer. I really couldn't take it anymore." His story was so moving that everyone looked at him with sympathy in their eyes. It seemed that Lincoln still kept up with news of Hilda, for he even knew that she became an exotic dancer. "I never thought that she'd be such a person. She looked all sweet and docile back then, but she actually became an exotic dancer at a bar. We can never judge a book by its cover. She looked innocent and pure, but she turned out to be such a promiscuous woman. I really pity Lincoln. He's such a great guy and was so good to her back then, yet she just didn't appreciate him. I heard that she'll also be attending the class reunion today. I really don't understand where she got the courage to do so. It isn't worth it to grieve over such a woman, Lincoln. You and Mitch make a good match now." Everyone condemned Hilda while consoling Lincoln. With tears shimmering in his eyes, Lincoln nodded lightly. "It's fortunate that I met Mitch now. She's a balm to my wounded heart." Undeniably, Lincoln's acting skills were superb. In the blink of an eye, he managed to get everyone on his side. Everyone then heaped the blame on Hilda. At that moment, Hilda still hadn't any idea that she had already become the target of public criticism before she had even arrived. "I've known Hilda for 3 years, and I didn't even know that she's such a person. No wonder she got herself an ex-convict for a boyfriend now." Yvonne curled her lips. The instant her words fell, everyone was astounded. They all gaped at her incredulously. "Who told you that, Yvonne? Are you sure about that?" Michelle hurriedly inquired. "I heard it from Yolanda. We spoke on the phone last night, and she told me that Hilda has an ex-convict for a boyfriend. I was also surprised at that time. But knowing that she's an exotic dancer now, I think she's lucky enough to bag him," Yvonne answered. A smile bloomed on Michelle's face when she heard that. She then cooked up a plan to humiliate Hilda if the latter happened to bring her boyfriend along. Meanwhile, The corners of Lincoln's mouth turned up after he learned that Hilda had an ex-convict for a boyfriend. At just that moment, Yolanda and Hilda arrived. They pushed open the door and sashayed in, with Kai following closely behind them. "Hello, everyone. It's been a long time," Yolanda greeted as she stepped into the room. Chapter 142. "Hello, everyone." Hilda likewise greeted everyone with a smile. But the second she spotted Lincoln, she averted her gaze and dared not look him in the eye. She was afraid that she would snap and tear into him since he had brought unspeakable misery upon her. However, she didn't want to ruin the class reunion with her personal grudge. Conversely, everyone was all the more convinced of Lincoln's sob story when they noticed her reluctance to look at the man. They were dead certain that she had done something wrong by him, which was why she was acting in such a shifty manner. After Yolanda and Hilda greeted everyone, they were both bewildered upon noticing the strange looks directed the latter's way. "I never expected you to be such a person, Hilda. Yet, you still dare to attend our class reunion. I really made the wrong call about you." Yvonne snapped at Hilda. Hearing that, Hilda was utterly baffled, for she couldn't understand what exactly Yvonne was referring to. "How did she offend you that you're saying such a thing when meeting for the first time after years, Yvonne?" Yolanda stepped forward and demanded. Just when Yvonne was about to speak, Lincoln stood up. "All right, let's not speak of the past anymore. We're here to chat and drink, so let's all stay amicable." Only after he said that did Yvonne zip her mouth shut. "How ridiculous." Yolanda dragged Hilda to an empty seat and sat down. Kai, on the other hand, unceremoniously sat down next to Hilda. At the sight of him, everyone looked him up and down, their gazes brimming with scorn and derision. "Who is this man, Hilda? This is our class reunion, so isn't it a tad inappropriate to bring an outsider?" Michelle asked Hilda, breaking the silence. She was asking that intentionally, as she wanted to see how Hilda would answer. At that question, Hilda glanced at Kai. She opened her mouth, but she didn't know how she should introduce him. "I can't say that he's my boyfriend since we haven't confirmed our relationship. But if I were to say that he's my friend, then it'd really appear a bit inappropriate to have brought a mere friend to an event such as a class reunion. Nice to meet you all. I'm Hilda's boyfriend, Kai Chance." Kai climbed to his feet and graciously introduced himself. When Hilda heard that, delight immediately showed on her face. She nodded at Michelle and echoed, "This is my boyfriend." Michelle proceeded to study Kai for some time before she questioned with a shadow of contempt in her eyes, "What's his profession?" "We're working as sales representatives," Hilda replied honestly. "A sales representative? In that case, he probably gets quite a lot in commission, huh? I heard that being a sales representative is quite a lucrative job nowadays," Michelle continued. It was as though she wanted to know everything about Kai. I am not sure either. We just started working there a few days ago," Hilda answered expressionlessly, not at all in the mood to entertain her. However, Michelle grew increasingly smug the more Hilda wanted to end that line of inquiry. Relentless, she asked further, "What did your boyfriend do before he became a sales representative?" Her goal was none other than to force Hilda to speak of Kai's stint in prison in a bid to humiliate her. This time, Hilda said nothing because she didn't know how to answer that. After all, Kai had just gotten out of prison, but she couldn't speak the truth. If she did, not only would she be ridiculed, but Kai would also be humiliated. Why are you hesitant to answer that? We're all former classmates, so there's no reason to be embarrassed. If your boyfriend's work isn't going well, we can recommend him some other jobs. But before we do so, we've got to understand him first, no? Despite her seemingly honeyed words, it was clear as day that she wasn't planning to recommend Kai a job. Instead, she wanted Hilda to make a fool of herself. Chapter 143. Are you interviewing him now, Michelle? Stop with all the questions, and let's have dinner instead. Yolanda hastily said to Michelle to save Hilda from the embarrassment. Alas, Michelle remained persistent. Staring at Hilda, who wore a conflicted expression, she continued asking, Hilda, is your boyfriend's former profession a secret? Is it something you can't say, such as him having been to prison? This time, she made things clear without beating around the bush any longer. When Hilda heard that, surprise promptly crept into her features. I've never told anyone about that. How could she possibly know about it? She then shifted her gaze to Yolanda as the latter had just learned that Kai had been to prison last night. Yolanda, too, had surprise etched on her face. In the end, she swung her eyes to Yvonne with fury blazing in them. Was it you who spouted that nonsense, Yvonne? I told her about it last night, and Michelle now knows about it, so it must have been her who spilled the beans. How is that spouting nonsense, Yolanda? I was just stating the facts. Yvonne didn't bother making excuses but admitted to it right away. That had Yolanda hopping mad, but she was also worried at the same time since Yvonne was also aware of her being an escort. If she were to let the cat out of the bag now, I'm never going to be able to hold my head up in public. Afraid that Yvonne would also blab about her if angered, she didn't comment further. It's nothing embarrassing that your boyfriend had been to prison, Hilda. Why were you unwilling to tell us about it? We won't discriminate against him. Your current status makes you a perfect match with him. One is an exotic dancer, while the other is an ex-convict. That's a match made in heaven. Ha ha. After Michelle said that, everyone burst into raucous laughter, the undisguised scorn in their eyes shining brightly. Hilda's face flushed bright red. She hadn't wanted to come in the first place because she knew that she'd definitely be treated with contempt if she attended the class reunion. Now that things had come to that, she hadn't the courage to stay anymore. Hilda stood up to leave, but Kai grabbed her arm. Why are you leaving when we haven't even eaten, Hilda? Let's eat first. Exactly. Why are you getting all up in arms when I was just joking with you? Look at how open-minded your boyfriend is. This is Glamour Hotel, you know. If it weren't for this class reunion, I'm afraid that you wouldn't be able to afford dining here even if you worked for your entire life. If you're worried that you can't afford to pay your share, just say the word. 80 or 100,000 is nothing to me, Michelle proclaimed with a mocking expression on her face. Since she had said as much, Hilda could no longer leave. If I stalk off now, it'll only prove that I'm taking off because I'm worried about spending money. No, it's okay. We have that much at least, Kai chimed in smilingly. All right, then. I won't worry anymore since you've got money. I was really afraid that someone would run off without paying after the meal later. If that were to happen, it'd be wholly embarrassing. Michelle exclaimed before turning to Lincoln. Lincoln, didn't you say that you ordered beforehand? Have them serve the food, then. With a smirk, Lincoln replied, sure. This time, I decided on a feast worth $58,800, exclusive of drinks. I brought my own Sauvignon Blanc, so we'll be spending around $8,000 to $10,000 per person. I'll have them serve the food right away. After saying that, he made a call. In no time, the private room door was pushed open, and the server brought in exquisite dishes, one after another. However, none of the people in the room showed a hint of joy at the tableful of food. After all, they had all just started working, and many of them hadn't any savings. Thus, having a meal that cost $8,000 to $10,000 was distressing since they hadn't that much money. Chapter 144. As Lincoln clocked everyone's expressions, his lips curved into a barely perceptible arc. Although this meal today isn't that expensive, I know many of you are rather strapped for cash now. As long as you toast me, I'll foot the bill for you. After he had finished saying that, he shifted his gaze to Hilda and Lincoln, making it abundantly clear that his words were meant for them. Wow, thank you, Lincoln. Let me be the first person to toast you. No sooner had his words rang out than someone picked up his wine glass and toasted the man. Soon, everyone toasted him with toady grins on their faces. In the end, Hilda, Kai, and Yolanda were the only ones who hadn't done so. Aren't you going to toast Lincoln, Yolanda? Yvonne queried. I can afford to pay $8,000. Yolanda's meaning was more than clear. She would rather pay out of her own pocket than toast Lincoln. Stop acting as though you're rich. How many clients would you have to sleep with before you make that much? I was just saying that for your own good, yet you're not the least bit grateful. Yvonne grumbled with a roll of her eyes. That remark was akin to a bolt of thunder that struck without warning, and everyone cut their gazes at Yolanda. Meanwhile, Yolanda's face flushed bright red, and she felt so mortified at their gazes that she wanted to crawl into a hole. What nonsense are you spouting, Yvonne? I'll kill you. Yolanda sprang to her feet with a bottle of wine in her hand. Watch your tongue, Yolanda. I'm not spouting nonsense. Do you not know your own profession? Yvonne wasn't willing to back down either. Holding the wine bottle in hand, Yolanda trembled all over. In the next instant, she made to hurl it at Yvonne. Right then, stark regret swamped her. I regarded her as a close friend, yet she betrayed me. At that precise moment, Michelle stood up and snatched the wine bottle from Yolanda. With a cold expression on her face, she roared, "Why are you two making a scene? I was the one who arranged the class reunion today. Are you two going against me to kick up a fuss here? If that's the case, just get out of here." She had appointed herself as the host just because Lincoln was her boyfriend. Anyhow, Ivan didn't dare say anything further following that bellow. Yolanda, on the other hand, sat back down with tears swimming in her eyes. The rest of the people eyed her licentiously, especially the males. She was rather pleasing to the eyes, after all, and they could possibly bed her then for just a few hundred. After that incident, Yolanda kept her head lowered and uttered nary a word. "Come on, let's all eat together. You guys don't get to eat such good food usually," Michelle said to the crowd, ignoring Yolanda altogether. Subsequently, everyone started eating enthusiastically. No one bothered about Yolanda other than Hilda, who consoled her tirelessly. But still, Yolanda kept mum. They all drank and toasted each other, but Kai merely concentrated on eating. No one cared about him, so he likewise ignored them all. Staring at him, Lincoln lifted his wine glass and remarked, "Why are you just eating and not drinking, Kai? Are you trying to eat your money's worth? Don't make yourself sick by stuffing yourself. Ha ha." As his words fell, everyone hooted with laughter. Kai wiped his mouth with a tissue and replied without a hint of anger, "This wine is too cheap. I'm not used to drinking such lousy wines." Upon hearing that, everyone was startled. "This is Sauvignon Blanc, a wine that costs a few thousand a bottle, yet he's claiming that he's not used to drinking it. What would you like to drink if you're not used to drinking Sauvignon Blanc? This is free, but you'll have to pay if you choose something else," Lincoln sneered. "Ah, money is no matter. The thing is, I'll get into a coughing fit if I drink wine that's too cheap," Kai explained placidly. Chapter 145. Whoa. Listen to his bragging. "I've never heard of anyone having a coughing fit after drinking cheap wine. Why are you acting all high and mighty when you're merely an ex-convict? You've probably never even drank Sauvignon Blanc. I really can't stand listening to him anymore. It's hurting my ears." When the crowd heard Kai's comment, they all went into an uproar. Michelle snickered disdainfully before saying to Hilda, "Look at your boyfriend, Hilda. What a weirdo. Never mind if he's poor, but he's acting as though he's rich." Hilda ignored her though she, too, didn't quite understand what was going on with Kai that day. "Kai, if my eyes serve me right, you drive a Ford, right? These few bottles of wine might even be enough to buy your car. Why are you still keeping up the charade?" Lincoln questioned with a smirk. It wasn't until after hearing his remark did the others notice a Ford car key at Kai's waistband. "I'm just supportive of local products. I've got a Bentley, but I don't like to drive it," Kai clarified mildly. "I can drive Tommy's Bentley anytime. Besides, the entire Templar regiment is mine, let alone a car." Pfft. Lincoln had just taken a sip of water when he spurted it out after hearing that. "Ha ha ha. In all my years, I've never seen someone so calm and unruffled while blowing his own trumpet. You're something else. You've got a Bentley? I bet you've never even seen one, have you?" Lincoln doubled over in laughter, laughing so hard that he was snorting. Everyone else guffawed as well, convulsing with laughter. Some even laughed so hard that tears trickled out of their eyes. "I'm nothing compared to you. I've never seen someone who can still be so calm and unruffled," even feigning generosity by offering to treat everyone to a meal after swindling a woman. Kai countered with a cold chuckle. The smile on Lincoln's face vanished at once, to be replaced by a grim expression the instant he heard that. "What are you talking about? I don't get it," he demanded, his eyes narrowing into slits. "You're well aware of what I'm talking about. After all, you know better than me whether you swindled anyone." Kai likewise stared him in the eye without giving him any quarter. Their gazes locked, and the atmosphere in the private room turned tense. "What a load of crap. Lincoln's watch alone costs a few hundred thousand. How could he possibly swindle anyone?" Michelle bellowed at Kai. In her eyes, Lincoln was an ideal man with talent and wealth. Thus, it made no sense that such a wealthy person would con someone else. "Exactly. I'm afraid you can't afford his watch even if you were to clean out your savings. Stop slandering him," Yvonne seconded. It was evident that no one believed Kai's claim that Lincoln would swindle someone. "What's so great when it's just an imitation watch?" Kai snorted. Ever since he stepped into the room, he had realized that the watch was fake. He only needed to release some spiritual energy to know whether it was genuine. An imitation watch. Everyone swung their gazes at Lincoln. Even Hilda, who had been comforting Yolanda, couldn't help glancing at the gold watch on the man's wrist. A flash of panic flickered across Lincoln's face. He then went ballistic and snarled, "Nonsense. I got this watch from Sumanthova. Have you ever seen a gold watch? How dare you insist that it's an imitation? Kai, it's fine if you envy Lincoln, but how could you say that his watch is an imitation? It's just worth a few hundred grand, isn't it? He has plenty of money, so why would he wear something fake? He drives a Mercedes-Benz S-Class. Don't tell me you're going to say that his car is also a knockoff." Michelle challenged Kai. Considering his status, how could he possibly wear an imitation watch? "I'd heard that he's loaded back when we were studying. As such, he can't possibly wear a knockoff. I pity you, but you should also work hard to make something of yourself. You can't simply say that someone else is wearing an imitation just because you don't have it. What kind of mentality is that?" Following Michelle's remark, everyone started condemning Kai. Chapter 146. Yvonne shot Kai a glare and snapped, "You're saying that the watch is a knockoff without even looking at it? It's glaringly obvious that you're jealous. Are you feeling resentful that your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend is doing better than you?" "I'm just stating the facts." Kai flashed her a faint smile. In response, Yvonne harumphed. "Pa. This is plain jealousy. If it's true, do come up with proof." Seeing so many people speaking up for him, Lincoln asserted with a frosty expression, "We've just made each other's acquaintance today, so why are you targeting me, Kai? If you don't give me an explanation for this matter, mark my words that I'm going to have you brought out of here on a stretcher." However, Kai merely sneered, "Okay. You know better than anyone whether the watch is an imitation. Since you want to be humiliated, don't blame me for granting you your wish." While saying that, he stood up and ordered, "Give me your watch. I'll prove it to you all." Instead of giving the man his watch, Lincoln withdrew his hand and demanded warily, How are you planning to prove it? This watch of mine cost a few hundred thousand. Can you afford to replace it if you were to damage it? He would never hand it over, for he knew that it was a knockoff. In truth, he was merely creating an illusion of being a wealthy man. That's simple. We'll know whether it's an imitation after smashing it to the ground, Kai answered nonchalantly. As long as the gold watch shattered, one could instantly tell whether it was the real deal. The mechanisms in an authentic gold watch were made of gold, but a knockoff couldn't possibly imitate that as well. You want to shatter my watch? This watch cost a few hundred grand, Kai. Can you afford to pay me back after ruining it? Lincoln questioned guiltily upon hearing that. He couldn't allow the man to shatter the watch since it was an imitation, and that would be clear as day once smashed. Exactly. Can you afford to pay for it? You dare smash a watch worth a few hundred thousand? What kind of authentication method is this? Don't boast if you don't have that capability. And here I thought that you really knew how to verify whether it's real. Everyone started criticizing Kai and heaping scorn on him. Smiling, Kai stated, "There are still other methods to decipher whether it's the real deal even without smashing it. Gold is different from other metals, so the answer will be evident as long as we weigh the watch and compare its weight with the figure stated on the official website. No matter how good an imitation was, the weight couldn't be the same. After all, gold weighed differently from other metals." When the others heard that, they found it to be a feasible method as it also wouldn't ruin the watch. "And I'm supposed to just do as you say?" A glimmer of panic flitted across Lincoln's eyes. He would never agree to weigh it, knowing that it would only prove the watch to be a knockoff. "Kai, you're jealous of Lincoln and claim that his watch is an imitation, but what if it's not? There's no reason for him to listen to you just because of a baseless remark," Michelle demanded with her eyes fixed on Kai. "If the watch is genuine, I'll pay for this meal," Kai declared confidently. He had full confidence that the watch was a knockoff. Hearing that, everyone turned to Lincoln. "Just let him weigh it, Lincoln. Since he dared make such a bold statement, prove him wrong once and for all. Besides, we'll also be getting a free meal out of it." By then, Lincoln was a smidge panicked, and cold sweat started beading on his forehead. Never had he expected Kai to fixate on his watch. "This watch requires a precise weighing instrument, but we don't have it now. How do you want to weigh it? Don't tell me you can tell by just weighing it in your hand," Lincoln questioned. "All right, I'll admit that you're right in that we don't have a weighing instrument now. However, do you dare give your watch to me for a look?" "I'll only take a look at it," Kai drawled with a smirk. "What are you planning to do? Are you going to smash it?" Lincoln asked warily. "No, I definitely won't do that. If I damage it even one bit, I'll pay you back according to the original price regardless of whether this watch of yours is genuine." Kai shook his head. He didn't need to smash the watch, and he was merely teasing the man when he said he was going to shatter it to tell whether it was genuine. Chapter 147. A rental. "Fine. I don't mind giving it to you for a look." Lincoln was afraid that Jared would continue insisting that the watch was a knockoff if he refused to give it to him for a look, so he took it off and handed it to the man. Then, he asserted, many people are standing witness for me here. If you smash it, you've got to compensate me according to the original price. With that said, he was convinced that Jared wouldn't dare smash it anymore. Without being weighed, it was also impossible to tell the authenticity of the gold watch. After all, it was a top-notch imitation, and only an expert appraiser could tell whether it was genuine at a single glance. He didn't believe that Jared could discern that. Jared took the watch from him. After fiddling with it for a while, he handed it back to the man. That's it? You can tell whether it's the real deal with just a look. Lincoln regarded him with puzzlement written all over his face even as he took his watch back. Yes, I only needed to take a single look. Jared nodded firmly. Humph. How ridiculous. Snorting, Lincoln slipped his watch back onto his wrist. Just as everyone was waiting for Jared to come up with the proof, Michelle abruptly shrieked, Lincoln, cue quick, look at your watch. Startled, Lincoln hastily swung his gaze to his watch, only to be wholly stumped. All the others were perplexed and shifted their gazes to the man's watch as well. At a single look, they were all similarly floored. The gold watch on Lincoln's hand had long since lost its golden luster earlier and had turned into a coppery color, making it all too clear that it was discoloring. With that, they could all tell that it was unquestionably an imitation since authentic gold wouldn't discolor. They all stared at Lincoln with a peculiar look in their eyes. The atmosphere also became exceedingly awkward. That imitation watch is so inferior that my hand is all covered in gold powder. Jared snagged a piece of wet tissue and wiped his hand, the corners of his mouth lifting slightly. Lincoln's expression turned exceedingly grim, becoming as black as thunder. Beside him, Michelle gaped at him in shock, at a loss for words. Lincoln, who had initially acted high and mighty with an arrogant aura, felt his face flaming hotly right then. He didn't even dare look anyone in the eye. Lincoln, could it be that you were duped by that friend of yours? How could he get you a knockoff from Sumantova? Someone couldn't help asking. That reminded Lincoln of a possible excuse, and jubilance immediately inundated him. He lifted his head and snarled, that damn fellow must have duped me. I spent a few hundred grand, yet he dared to buy me an imitation watch. I'll definitely kill him when I catch him. While saying that, he smashed the watch in his hand to the ground, shattering it into smithereens. However, the trust earlier was already gone from some of the people's eyes as they looked at the man. After all, it was clear as day that he was using an imitation watch to show off. That swindler is truly despicable. It's just a 300 grand watch, no. Lincoln certainly won't lie about that when he's driving a car that costs over $1 million. Why would he still need to buy a knockoff to put on a show? Michelle stood up beside Lincoln and defended him. Seizing that opportunity, Lincoln took out his car key and placed it on the table to flaunt his status. Who knows whether he rented the car? Jared chimed in with a sneer right then. In fact, many people there shared his sentiments. After all, Lincoln's watch was an imitation, so there was a possibility that the Mercedes-Benz was also rented. Besides, a day's fee didn't cost that much. Nonsense. How could it possibly be a rental? I've seen him driving it long before today, not just for tonight. Michelle retorted. The answer will be evident once he shows us the car ownership certificate, Jared countered. As long as Lincoln produced the car ownership certificate, there would be no doubt about the name on it at a single glance. Michelle turned to Lincoln, seemingly wanting him to retrieve the car ownership certificate to shut Jared up. Seeing that, Lincoln hurriedly declared, "It's too troublesome to go to the car and retrieve it. You just want to see whether I've got that capability, no? I'll order a new watch online right away. I find myself feeling uneasy without a watch." Chapter 148. Give us 10 bottles. While saying that, Lincoln ordered a watch costing over $200,000 right in front of everyone's eyes. Furthermore, he even paid for it, so all that was left was to wait for it to be delivered. With that, envy slithered into everyone's gazes once more. They all believed that he was truly loaded, which meant he had undoubtedly been duped about the imitation watch. At the same time, Lincoln breathed a long sigh of relief that he managed to safeguard his status as a wealthy man. Glimpsing his reaction, Jared chuckled softly. Cancellation is entirely possible for purchases made online. Therefore, he can simply cancel his order later without losing a single penny. Nonetheless, he didn't expose the man since he still wanted to toy with him. In the end, the matter of the gold watch was merely a trifling episode that didn't affect Lincoln's status in the crowd's eyes. Lincoln then turned his gaze to Jared with a provocative look in his eyes. "He just wanted to humiliate me, but not only did he fail to do so, but they're even more respectful toward me now. Earlier, you said that money is no matter to you and that you're unaccustomed to drinking Sauvignon Blanc. So, what would you like to drink? Glamour Hotel has all kinds of liquor, but it all depends on whether you can afford to pay for it." After almost having been tripped up by the man, Lincoln wanted to give him a taste of his own medicine. "How about brandy?" Jared eyed him with a challenging glint in his eyes. "Do you dare drink it? I'm afraid that you won't have any money left to foot the bill after having spent your entire fortune on the watch." Lincoln was taken aback for a moment, never having expected him to choose such an expensive liquor since the cheapest bottle of brandy cost $200,000 at the very least. Everyone else gaped at Jared incredulously with disbelief etched on their faces. "Jared," Hilda tugged at Jared's sleeve lightly. She used to work at a bar, so she naturally knew the price of brandy. A single bottle was a few hundred thousand, so it'd be a tidy sum even if they were only paying for their shares. Clocking her expression, Lincoln sniggered. "Ha! I just knew that he was putting on a show, deliberately mentioning such expensive liquor to intimidate me. Brandy isn't too bad. I've had it a few times. If you want to have brandy, we'll order a few bottles." He handed the decision to Jared, waiting to see whether the latter would dare say that he wanted to have brandy. At that moment, everyone trained their eyes on Jared with mockery teeming in their gazes. They all felt that he certainly wouldn't dare ask for it. Thus, it was akin to him shooting himself in the foot. Unexpectedly, Jared nodded. "Sure." Without giving Lincoln another opportunity to change his mind, he called out to the server right away, "Waiter, 5 bottles of brandy, please." Shock deluged them all when they heard him ordering 5 bottles of brandy in one go. Lincoln was likewise startled. He initially wanted to stop Jared from doing so, but on second thought, He promptly assumed that the man was still provoking him. Even if he orders 5 bottles of brandy, it won't be charged if he doesn't open them. At that line of thought, he finally breathed a sigh of relief, secretly rejoicing that he didn't fall for the man's trick. 5 bottles are too little. Give us 10 bottles. He eyed Jared with a smirk. Since he wants to play games with me, I'll play along with him. Anyway, I don't have to open them at the end of the day. I can just return them when the time comes. Oh, wow. I've never had brandy, yet Lincoln asked for 10 bottles. How incredible. Look, this is the epitome of someone rolling in money. Jared is merely putting on a show. Not only is he an ex-convict, but his clothes aren't even worth 200, yet he claims that he drinks brandy. Pah. This is probably the exact scene when a braggart meets a true tycoon. Let's just see how he's going to deal with the consequences of his lies. Everyone regarded Jared with amusement, eagerly waiting to see him worming his way out of the predicament. Meanwhile, Hilda was bowled over by the turn of events. 10 bottles of brandy? That's a total of 2 million. Even if we're only paying for our share, that will be close to 200,000. If our parents were to learn about it, they'd definitely kill us. Chapter 149. Open them up. Jared, forget about it, Hilda whispered anxiously. Lincoln burst into laughter when he saw how troubled Hilda was. He then mocked Jared, "Hey punk, you still have time to change your mind. Can you even afford to drink brandy? You look like you don't even have 20,000 with you. Stop bluffing, punk. Change my mind." Jared grinned. "What for? It's just brandy anyway. It's not like I've never drank it before. But if you've regretted your actions, you still have time to stop the waiters." "Ha ha ha. Are you kidding me? Why would I? A few million means nothing to me." Lincoln laughed aloud. "Let's see how long you can go on with your act. Once the liquor gets here, you'd surely regret it." Soon, the waiters served up 10 bottles of brandy. Everyone was amazed because none of them had ever indulged in such expensive liquor. "Sir, do you need help to open them?" one of the waiters asked Lincoln. Lincoln hesitated and turned to look at Jared. "Jared, are you sure about this? Once they open the bottles, it'd be too late to back down." Lincoln was certain that Jared was bluffing, and so he pressured him to submit. In fact, he hoped that none of the liquor would be opened because he couldn't afford to pay. Jared smiled faintly and said to the waiter, "Please open all of them." "Yes, sir." The waiter proceeded to open up a bottle of brandy. Lincoln was stunned. He didn't see that coming. Pop. A second bottle was opened. Every time Lincoln saw a bottle cork being pulled out, his heart bled a little. Not long after, Lincoln was drenched in cold sweat. "Jared, don't you forget that we're at Glamour Hotel. It's the Sullivan family's business. There's no way you can leave without paying, you know." Lincoln tried his luck and threatened Jared, hoping that he would stop the waiter. "I'm not planning to do that. How about you? Are you worried that you can't afford the drinks? If that's the case, you can tell them to stop." Jared sneered. "What makes you think I can't afford it? My monthly expenses far exceed your annual salary. Lincoln knew it was too late to back down, considering that he was the one who had ordered 10 bottles of brandy. By the time all 10 bottles were opened, Lincoln's heart sank. "This is good liquor." Jared poured himself a big glass of brandy and downed it. Lincoln looked at Jared with contempt and said to the others, "Let's drink. Don't let him have it all to himself." It seems that Jared has never seen such expensive liquor in his life. Upon hearing that, everyone started pouring for themselves. Yvonne and Michelle, despite being non-drinkers, poured themselves a full glass each as well. They were taking full advantage, knowing that they wouldn't be able to afford expensive liquor themselves. Unlike the others, Hilda wasn't keen on drinking. Instead, she was busy comforting Yolanda, who was in a bad shape. Chapter 150. Avoid paying. Lincoln felt relieved when he saw everyone drinking. "Good. I can pay for the meal myself, but now that you all are drinking, we just split the bill on the liquor later. There's no way I'd pay over $1 million on my own." Assuming that Lincoln would pay for them, the others were all fawning over him. "If it weren't for you, Lincoln, I doubt I could ever have a taste of such good liquor."
"Exactly.
You're awesome, Lincoln. $1 million really means nothing to you. And then there's Jared. Doesn't he know how capable Lincoln is? How dare he compare himself to Lincoln?" Jared was unfazed by those flatteries. "Say whatever you want now, because you'll still have to fork out the money later." In a blink of an eye, they finished all 10 bottles of brandy. Some of them couldn't even stand upright. "All right. It's time to go," Jared said to Hilda. Hilda nodded and helped Yolanda walk out of the room. The others followed suit. Lincoln hurriedly caught up with them. He was eager to humiliate Jared in public. "Let's see how you are going to pay up. May I know how much we'll have to pay?" Lincoln asked the cashier. "Sir, your total bill is $2,100,000, the cashier answered promptly. Lincoln nodded and took out his phone to split the bill. "Jared, we have a total of 14 people here. Hence, it'd be $150,000 each. Since there are three of you, you'd have to pay $450,000. $450,000 is nothing." Jared chuckled. "Drop your act, Jared. If so, then what are you waiting for? Pay up now," Michelle said with a sarcastic tone. "There's no way he could pay. He's just acting rich," Yvonne added. The rest of them were all waiting to see Jared make a fool of himself. $450,000 was an enormous amount for a typical wage earner. Hence, they were sure that Jared wouldn't have that amount of money. Hilda stared at Jared nervously, as she had no money with her. "How are we going to pay $450,000 now?" Yolanda, who had been silent, slowly raised her head and said, "I have $200,000 with me. Take it." Yolanda knew she shouldn't let Jared pay for her. After all, she was the one who had insisted on bringing them along, although she had never thought that things would end up that way. Furthermore, she knew that Jared did not come from a well-off family and he had just gotten out of prison recently. $450,000 must be an unimaginable amount for him. "Yolanda, just how rich do you think you are?"
I'm sure you have to whore around for quite a few times to earn yourself 200,000. Michelle scoffed upon seeing that Yolanda was willing to fork up with her hard-earned money. How dare you? Yolanda was extremely infuriated by Michelle's degrading words. Suddenly, she felt lightheaded and immediately passed out. Yolanda! Yolanda! Hilda held onto her and shouted. Jared went toward Yolanda and checked her pulse. After knowing that she'd be fine, he turned toward Hilda and said, Hilda, take her home. I'll deal with them on my own. But Jared, how about the money? Hilda queried worriedly. Don't worry about that. I have my ways. You should take her home now, Jared answered with a straight face. Hilda took a glance at Jared before shifting her gaze to the unconscious Yolanda. She had no choice but to leave Jared behind. Jared, now that the ladies are gone, are you going to go back on your words and leave without paying up? Lincoln asked coldly. Jared scoffed and continued, I've got no bills to pay, though.